Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 194. It is the 2024 Microsoft MVP Summit, and our annual Live from the Microsoft MVP Summit episode has been renamed to PowerPoint MVPs Gather During the Microsoft MVP Summit, as this year almost everyone opted to be remote attendees. But stay with us. This episode has 9 Microsoft MVPs gathered around our virtual table for a great hour of presentation conversation.
The 2024 Microsoft MVP Summit is happening this week, March 11th to 15th. I realize this recording is coming out just after that. And our traditional Live from the MVP Summit is an episode that, well, it's a highlight for me. It's just a great thing. We get a bunch of the PowerPoint MVPs and others around. And well, this year, Microsoft is hosting a hybrid summit, but the PowerPoint sessions were moved to a different day than we had historically had been in. My flights didn't align. And well, almost everybody on this call is not there in person. We are attending as hybrid remote attendees. So we are together gathering during the summit, but it's not the same thing. We're not sitting in around a bar and we're not sharing drinks and stories and everything else, but it's a highlight for me to have everybody together and just kind of have a rolling conversation, not necessarily about the summit, but just as a group of PowerPoint focused people talking together.
I love seeing all your beautiful faces. I know we're not in person. Richard, I'm very, very envious, and you'll have to update everybody on your situation where you're recording from, but thank you for joining us. It's wonderful to see y'all.
It has been great. We just for people listening, we do have camera video of each other, but it is not recorded. So we actually have a little, we got to do a little, everybody smile. There, we have captured for posterity. I'm actually looking the wrong way because I'm using my wrong monitor, but that just is far for the course. We'll try and post that in there. So anyways, we do get to see each other. We can wave at each other. We can see Richard sitting in, I don't know, outside of IKEA or something. And the rest of us here. I wanted to start with, the MVP Summit in one word, Copilot. That's the focus of most of the sessions I've been in. Of course, PowerPoint hasn't had their sessions yet. But I wanted to acknowledge and talk about Julie's LinkedIn Learning course on Copilot and PowerPoint. I'm sorry, Julie, what's the full name? I should have it in front of me.
Copilot and PowerPoint from prompt to presentation.
It's awesome. Yep. Almost finished it off. I've got like 2 more little segments, chapters. I don't know what they call it. I want my certificate.
I'm a graduate. Ooh, yay. Yeah, exactly. But you know what? We do want to talk about that. But as we do it, just a heads up, Chantal also produced a Copilot course in French.
My specific Copilot course,
yes,
I believe.
Exactly.
Yes.
And Heather Ackman did a LinkedIn Learning. These are all LinkedIn Learning, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes. Heather Ackman also did a LinkedIn Learning course.
She updated her one or more of her existing courses to include Copilot and PowerPoint.
Yeah. But that brings up a good point. Well, I'm not going to say you rushed it out, but it seems like it came out very quickly. So I know you probably did a lot of work on it, but Copilot is changing and we hope will continue to change rapidly. So how does that work with updates and things like that?
I built that into my opening.
Yeah.
Addressed that right off the bat. What you're seeing in the course might not even be, it might look different in your version because it's going to constantly be updated and hopefully improved. But down the line, they'll probably have me do an update.
Okay. And just for my knowledge, how did it come about? Did you propose it? Did somebody come to you?
They asked me to do it.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
It was about a year ago. And because LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft, they have an inside track into what's, well, they knew that Copilot was going to be the big, the big thing of the year, the topic of the year. And so they started asking for courses. So it was difficult to get access. I had to wait to get access through the LinkedIn instructor access. It was just using their credentials. So I could write it. I wrote a rough outline based on things that I had already learned. and then had to wait for the demo version that I got via LinkedIn access. And then I was getting ready for presentation summit, getting ready to record and all that. And I was told by some folks that I was working with at Microsoft to hold on. It's all changing. Don't release anything. I had to rewrite. I had to start over, basically. I had to learn the software, rewrite all the scripts, and then record right after presentation summit. So, yeah, it was a difficult thing at best.
Thank you for doing it.
This is March of 2024, and Microsoft had put out I wish I could remember. Was it a social media thing or one of the things?
No, it was an announcement. It was an early announcement.
No, not Julie's thing. The timeline for Copilot, their timeline, because, ChatGPT 1, 2, 3, and then 4 that we're all using now, the Copilot timeline was amazing. I mean, it literally, I don't remember all the details, but it was like 10 steps, and it starts in January of 2023. So just over a year ago, hey, we're in real development on this. And then it went from January to now, and it's a full-blown focus for the company. I mean, it's got to be one of the biggest tech rollouts, pushes.
Troy, if I could, it's reminding me a lot of back in 96, 97, when Microsoft and Office in particular is really afraid of what the World Wide Web's effect was going to be on applications.
Ooh.
And our focus, it was like everybody was just told to focus on HTML and the web. And that was when we got HTML as a file format. We did a bunch of web enabled features and stuff, but it was like the same exact vibe. It's like, this is our focus. We have to do this because this is the competitive state of the business right now. And I'm just like, I just thought of that the other day. It was like, yeah, these guys are really focused on just this for right now.
And, it seems very much that to me. I don't remember.
AI is in everything. In fact, I remember being asked to speak at a conference and they said, can you put an AI spin on it? It really was. Everything is AI. And Richard just did a great session at Creative Pro. It was a presentation design conference where he addressed all the issues of using AI with presentations and PowerPoint. It was very good too.
It was a curious one, that, because I tried it with different people in Bright Carbon to say, right, what should we do here? The how to and the positive and what you could do with it, or the trying to pick it apart and see where it also falls down. Because a lot of the marketing things you get, it's like, it's all amazing and wonderful and perfect. And yet it isn't, because as Troy said, it's brand new and that's totally okay. But I don't like the fact that people go into it thinking it'll solve all the problems. And a lot of people were quite concerned almost about what it could potentially do. And, everyone is terrified of what AI could be. So it's like, okay, well, let's do a warts and all type approach in that to show where it works and where it doesn't. And one of the things I love about Microsoft's naming convention for this is they call it Copilot. And they very specifically say it is a co-pilot. It's not going to do it for you. It is going to help you to do it faster and quicker. And I really admire them for that. And I think it's a great naming convention for them.
I do, until you take the legal spin and they say, remember, this is a co-pilot. You're responsible for checking the results and everything else. I'm like, wait a minute. This cool thing just became my responsibility?
It's like Tesla's auto steer.
Yeah,
it's our role in the partnership.
Don't take your hands off the wheels. Wink, 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 wink. Yeah.
It still scares me.
What, co-pilot or the auto-steer?
Yes.
Are you getting sort of day-to-day client inquiries and about it?
Yes.
With design work? Yeah.
Really?
In what way, Echo?
For me, honestly, my clients are wanting to know that it's not going to put them out of business. You got a ways to go before that, but.
And in terms of presentation designers, that was one of the things that I felt really important to say up front, is that this tool is not going to replace professional designers, presentation experts. There's no way. There's no way.
I mean, what I told my client, one of my clients is that it's a PowerPoint add-in that does a lot of automation between Excel and PowerPoint and a lot of automatic stuff in PowerPoint itself, financial industry it's big in the financial industry, but they were concerned immediately after Copilot was released. And I'm like, look, Copilot will automate a lot of things, but it is not going to automate the stuff that you guys are doing. And I feel like if a large part of your job is that you get paid to think for a living, then you probably don't have a whole lot to worry about. At least, ooh,
that's
not
a great statement.
That's a good echo.
I'm quoting Echo. That all is right. Absolutely brilliant. I got to do a presentation at this conference coming up, and I'm doing AI proposal graphics. Of course, it's going to spill over into content development in general.
Right.
And I'm going to seriously quote you. I'm going to write it down and make sure I get it right. I'll bug you later.
Okay.
Okay, wait, then I got to ask the question. I'd like everybody's input here. At this point in history, how is everybody feeling about the whole AI, ChatGPT assistance in their business life and the, what I'll just say, forthcoming Copilot? Because I really don't think we have this. Are you feeling, no, are you actually, you, by the way, everybody just about put their thumbs up, hands up. But are you feeling like are you using it? Do you have a use case for it right now? Mike, you're nodding the most fervent. Say it.
Oh, well, I use it all the time for content development because I'll do it for everything from make this email sound better to figure out a better title for my webinar or find the most the words with fewer syllables to say the same thing or things like that. Basically, excellent. All of these communication best practices, I have an assistant now. Not my wife is an amazing writer, but I keep bugging my wife for everything. So
yeah, rewrite this.
And are you using Copilot or what? Which no,
Chat
what are you
GPT?
Using? ChatGPT.
I mean, there's so many tools now.
Yeah.
Echo. Are you using it?
I've been using ChatGPT to rewrite things and to come up with better ways to say things. And Julie taught me that it's really good for coming up with dummy content for slides and things if you have to do makeovers or whatever. So that's a great idea.
Yeah.
But I know she's pretty smart.
No, tell us about it. What do you do?
Yeah, tell us how you make dummy content with it specifically.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
So come up with a topic and ask it to give you three short statements about that subject. So think about how much content you want. Maybe it's on a slide. Come up with an overall theme and then ask it to give you a few sentences about that subject. And then ask it to or ask it to give you a couple short phrases or divide this paragraph up into three sections.
Okay.
Cool. I was literally before this call typing an email and Copilot came in and I had typed the sentence, no, you should be familiar and comfortable with working in PowerPoint, even if you're new to building templates. And that was highlighted and Copilot came on and said, do you want help rewriting this? I'm like, yeah, sure. Go for it. So here's what I got. This has been lovely, but you've reached your daily limit. Try again tomorrow.
Well, you see, I don't think
it
that's
is not ready written. For prime time, folks.
It changes the tone of the email. People are going to get confused with that if you
just
write that.
A little bit.
I was like, this is a Richard thing. This is lovely. It was brilliant.
It's been lovely. I got the British
Listen, chops.
So, I don't know if we said who is there and who's not. Richard is the only person, is the only one of us at the summit right now, even though he's in a car. But,
but
we do have a couple other MVPs who are unfortunately not able to join us. But when are we going to see each other next in person? Because very few of us are seeing now. Is it going to be the presentation summit?
In October, yeah.
Are you all going? Yeah.
I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going.
Yeah. Right. Excellent. I'll see you, Nolan, probably at Creative Pros.
Oh, yeah.
Creative Pro Week.
That'll be in your backyard again. That's in July. We'll see you then. And I just saw Troy. Well, that was the last episode or one of the last episodes. Troy, that's a conversation for another topic. But so do we have any other get-togethers? I don't think so until October when we'll see each other.
No, we're trying. Everyone, the CDC guidelines have changed. So
what?
Echo, had these CDC guidelines been in place when the last presentation summit, should you come down with a virus, the the CDC guidelines say you can go back into public after 24 hours of your last fever.
Fever?
Oh. What if you never have a fever?
So if you
Sandy and I would have been fine even with the CDC guidelines as they were when we were in Monterey, but we were both still coughing, and we talked to the folks at Microsoft, and they're like, we're going to be in small boardrooms, and you know, we're not going to tell you not to come, but pretty much don't come. It's what, you know.
Well, that includes disco fever for you as well. So,
or getting married in a fever.
Or Pringles.
All the things. All the things.
Okay, so I have a question, only because this did come up here, like not with our group, but here. It's a presentation question. We're getting set to go into the summer months. I'm very excited about this. Daylight savings just happened. I feel like life is happening. Do you see more summer or more? Well, let's see here. How do I say this? Does summer or winter have more presentation projects for you? Because we're all in the presentation project design, or is it just kind of like a year-round constant?
Year-round, except there's a little slowdown in the middle of summer and then right around the holidays. So I would say it's heavy towards spring, you know, and then there's a middle summer where it's a little slower, and then fall is crazy, and then around the holidays it slows down again.
Election years are always strange for me because of where we are in D.C.
Interesting.
There's more or less.
There's a big push just before the administration may or may not switch over. A lot of people are pushing their agendas forward. So then just during the election, if they can continue to push, they will. If they don't, then things just fall off the radar because they can only slide right but so far. And then, of course, if there's administration change, then the work goes pretty much bye-bye.
There's a season I hadn't considered at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Very regional.
It is.
Wow.
Richard, does Bright Carbon just have a constant, or do they have an up and down cycle?
There is usually one month in the year when you look back and you think, oh, that was a quiet month, but it's always a different month.
Same.
So frustrating for planning. Really frustrating for planning.
Absolutely. I think that's the same. That's well put, because Julie talked about the holidays. My holidays were incredibly crazy this year.
Wow.
And I couldn't wait for February. You know, it was just really, really busy. So yeah, you look back and you think, oh, that was kind of quiet.
I mean, sometimes December is the busiest time. I think maybe because lots of financial year ends and stuff, people want to get stuff completed by the end of the year. Just whatever. And other times, nope, that doesn't happen. And, you know, May is really crazy or something. But yeah, there's usually one month which is a little bit quieter.
It used to be on the DL when companies would come to us and say, hey, we have money that if we don't spend it, we lose it.
Oh, we get that.
And so now, what's that, Troy?
Maybe I should keep that. Oh, we do that. Wait, no, we don't do that. That's okay.
So these companies now, large and small companies, will come to us and say, without apology, we literally need to spend this money, help us spend it, give us value. And it isn't shameful. It isn't on the DL anymore. It's a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And the deal is there's been things that they've been wanting to get, they haven't pulled the trigger on. So it's not a bad thing either. And of course,
spend it now.
I do that, but I take it as a retainer for the next year.
Absolutely, Brian. That's one of the things we've done.
Really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same.
We just had that happen. I mean, it's kind of cool. Lori's like, why would they want to prepay for this work that's going to happen all out? I'm like, well, are they a calendar year or a fiscal year company? Yeah. Like, oh, they're fiscal. They want to use that.
They have to if they've assigned it. Because it affects their allocated funds for the following year. If they don't spend all that, they're going to get less the next year.
Or in this case, it was like, if we use it now, it's part of a budget we're not going to use up, and therefore we have more next year. So. But yeah, I think it's a big part of business. So, I asked the summer winter. Well,
oh, go ahead.
No, I need anybody else to come up with a conversation.
Well, actually, when I worked, go ahead, Echo.
I was going to talk about lulls and stuff. When I worked for a MedEgg company like 100 years ago, so this is in the early, late 90s, turn of the century. Is it the turn of the century? We were really slow. Like our major pharma clients would shut down between Christmas and New Year's, like Julie was saying. So the holidays, we were the very first year, it was a little bit slower and we could actually breathe through the holidays. And so every year after that, we would be like, oh, well, it'll be slow in the holidays. And it was never, ever, ever slow ever again. Just 1 year fluke. Yeah. Just throwing it out
just,
there.
It's just what your clients, it could vary by client type. It varies by region. Yeah. It looks like it's just, you have to be in our business and in our roles, you have to be willing to go with the flow.
Yeah.
Say, I wanted to, something came up in the notes, the chat right now, and I'm just really curious about it. There's a, Rick, you posted something about the surface.
About the surface?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we think about AI at Microsoft and we're all thinking ChatGPT and our content, but there was actually an interesting session and there was some NDA stuff. This is not under NDA. This is actually in a product. The Surface 9 Pro, and you have to be careful about this because it's the the 5G model. In other words, it's a model that has a Wi-Fi chip in it, which is idiotic for reasons I'll just get to in a second. Also has, it has this SoC, system on a chip, mm-hmm. which is made specifically to keep power consumption and heat down. But that's got the CPU and the GPU and a lot of other things. It now has an NUP, I think it is, chip, which is the neural processing chip, which is an AI component. And the things it's getting used for immediately, for example, the one they gave to us was when you're in a meeting like this where the software can blur the background and find the edges on things to know where to start and stop, is apparently very power and heat, power consumptive and heat producing. But if you have one of these neural chips in there, you can hand it off to that. And it's made to do stuff like that, pattern recognition and other AI aspects. It was crazy. I mean, it made a lot of sense when they're showing it. But someone was talking about, Richard was talking about the great name of Copilot. Microsoft, in its brilliance on this, the only way you can tell what Surface model has this chip, it's the one with the G5 Wi-Fi in it. And so it's and that's the only thing in the name that lets you know it's got this AI enhanced processing, which, I mean, it's just, for me, it's 0365 all over again. It's like you start
flashbacks for Rick. I can see
man. When you start using the same name or don't have a name for something, customers, I just bought a Surface Pro 9, and I would have bought that model if I had known the difference, but it's just like, you don't know.
So that's help me understand what's different about a Surface Pro 9. And I'm old with a laptop, Surface Laptop 3.
The Surface Pro 9 is really great. I mean, it's the latest model. It's very responsive, but the thing that sold me on it was, unlike everything that's coming out of Apple and most PC, well, not most, but a fair number of thin PC laptops. And I showed this to Troy when we were in Sunnyvale. On the back, there's a little door that you can literally open with your finger.
Oh, yeah.
You press it down and it pops open and you have direct access. You can replace the SSD, the storage on it, with fingers. You
That's
don't
amazing.
Have any tools at all. You just slide really? A new one in there and close it up again.
That's
so I bought the 256 gigabyte model for storage. Okay.
Really day yourself. I have a 256.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm reading my Amiga.
I tell you more. I'm reading an old book. But anyway, so like 15 minutes after I received the Surface, I had upgraded it to a terabyte for
$150
a quarter of the cost it would have cost to buy the terabyte model. But I didn't know that I wasn't getting a G5 Wi-Fi chip.
Well, just to wrap up that, because I get to do this annual conference with Qualcomm, with Snapdragon, and they are everything's SoC. It's all on chip, and neural processing has been actually a topic for several years, at least the past two, maybe three, and they're actively, which it sounds like Microsoft is doing as well as everybody, they're actively putting a portion of the processing on chip and the other portion off because it power consumption, Wi-Fi needs, everything else. But it's
heat is amazing.
The difference, not a new topic to me because other companies have been talking about it for years, but it is. And I was just in a session. I won't say what it was for, but they had said something about a new AI processing. And that was my question is, hey, is this software based or is this hardware connected or hardware, need? Because that's exactly what I was thinking is like, you know, if this is a hardware based thing, that's awesome, but I don't have that hardware, so I don't care about the conversation anymore. But if it's software based, what's the actual needs for that? I mean, how
needy is this processing? We used to think about graphic processing as something that happened in software, right? Not very long ago. And then everything's gone to the, these very powerful graphic GPUs. Mm-hmm. In fact, things that have nothing to do with graphics are going to the GPUs. GPUs get used for Bitcoin mining and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, yeah, it's blurring the lines between what's in software and what's in hardware.
See, presentation people don't just talk about slides.
They had great slides.
Well, what's a cool PowerPoint, to bring it back to our thing, what's a cool PowerPoint project or project where PowerPoint was used that each of you have done in the last year that you can sort of talk about?
Troy, I feel bad saying this. It's a cool project, but I don't think it's exactly where you were going. I do want to give a shout out to Steve Rinsberg and his website, pptools.com, because I did a session at Creative Pro, and it was about the Magical 3-in-1 deck, essentially a retelling of that story that was basically created by Steffi Hogan, Nolan, of course, and Rick Altman, who is the MC for Presentation Summit. They came up with this brilliant idea to format your notes pages as if you would format them as a Word document or as a handout, independently of the PowerPoint file. And I also gave Sandy and the podcast a shout out because Sandy threw out this little golden nugget, I think at last year's MVP or Presentation Summit thing, where she said great slides make terrible handouts and great handouts make terrible slides. And I was like, oh my God. So that was
so smart.
That was real hook. So I shared that at the very beginning with quotes and a big call out and attribution. And then I used Steve Rinsberg's hack to go into the VB code in order to, or not necessarily the XML code, in order to change the CX size, the notes.
Oh, page, yes.
Because it's like 2.47 by 7 point, whatever it is. It's not 8.5 by 11 or A11 or anything like that. So Steve said, you know, this is how many, I think it's 914,000 units equals 1 inch or something like that. Yeah. And ultimately that hack allowed us to do some pretty amazing stuff in that session.
Be careful, because I don't know if it's still a bug, but when you open it in PowerPoint Online, mm-hmm. it farks with anything you've done to your notes pages.
Yes.
And when you bring it back in desktop, you have to redo things. Yep. Be careful. I don't know. Echo, do you know if that bug is still there?
Well, the one where it screws up the page size, that one has been fixed, but I don't know about the actual formatting. Like if you've done a bunch of formatting and stuff, I don't know what it does to that, but I do know that basic mm-hmm. size issue, it has been fixed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying up above is that, Microsoft for a long time wouldn't believe it was a bug. And when we finally said, yes, it is a bug, it's happening, you know, blah, blah, blah. They were like, well, because Heather Ackman and I were like this, we nailed it down. This is happening when we're collaborating on OneDrive. We're both in this file and it blew up. And they were like, well, it's not a problem with OneDrive. And it's like, You guys are crazy. Sorry
to interrupt. I got the URL wrong. It is Steve has an amazing website called pptools.com. It's great for resources that he created, but also he's got this giant library of solutions, and that's at pptfaq.com. Is that right, Steve?
Yeah, that's the one. Yes.
Perfect. And that's where I found how to modify your notes pages, the size, the dimensions. Oh,
that makes way more sense now, Mike.
Yeah, sorry like, about
that. Does he have an add-in for that? I was very excited, Steve. I was thinking you should build something to do that.
Well, it's more fun to edit the XML yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm very confident when I do that.
Especially if you're on a Mac. Yeah.
He makes it easy.
I have a very, very tiny little tip, speaking of just notes pages and vertical PowerPoint. I've been doing so much 8.5 by 11 just stuff in PowerPoint. I finally, after all these years, realized, why don't you just make a little POTX with the 8.5 by 11 instead of having to change it every single time, because they don't make it easy. It's like with InDesign, it's like you open it up and like, oh, what size do you want? Click, and it's there. With PowerPoint, it's change this. Do you want to scale? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What is that? What is that? And so finally, I just made a little starter file and have been using that constantly.
Well, and if you choose it, it still gives you margin. So you actually only get 7.5 by 10. So...
Well, I set it as 8.5 by 11. It's a custom. Yeah.
I'm just saying that if it were to pop up and say, what size do you want?
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't even get that right. So yeah, it's smart.
So Nolan, how do you access this file? Do you like go to your computer and say, here it is, I'm going to get it? Or do you?
It's just a POTX and I just put it in my menu, in my doc on the Mac. So
it has solution. Pinned files are your friend.
Yes.
We literally have, and yeah, you open up a file and you can do the little pin. Then you go, when you go to file open, there's the tab that says pin. You can, we have a ton of the files on our office, on our TLC.
Wait, team. Isn't that PC only?
Oh, is it?
Oh, well,
really?
That would be something.
I don't think you can pin on Mac.
I'm just laughing at you now.
Mac.
I literally live by that. We have probably 15 set documents and we have US letter vertical or portrait and then US letter landscape. They're just like presets because Microsoft has never fixed it. So we fixed it.
The other thing though, to remember that to tack on something that Nolan said, if you choose their sizes, letter size or whatever, it won't be letter size. It's going to be a weird size. So you have to go in and set.
It's aspect ratio.
Yeah. Well, more or less.
Yeah. Echo pointed that out, which is, after all these years, is just ridiculous. Did everyone see the change to animation online?
No, I saw your post, so please elaborate.
So, well, first of all, I never use PowerPoint online, so I'm like, okay. So I don't know what it looked like before, but now they've given you an animation panel where each animation gets its own card. And you can move them up and down and set all the things. I don't know what it looked like before. I guess it's closer to the Mac. It's not a timeline, but they just released this like a day or two ago. I found it's a little clunky and a little, but again, I never use it online, but it was an attempt. A lot of animation was very difficult in PowerPoint online and they're trying to make it easier.
It somehow felt Google-ish to me.
Ghoulish.
Yeah,
Ghoulish. Ghoulish and Google-ish. Oh. Yeah.
They Googled that's my lot. Only feedback right now. I haven't been able to spend a lot of time with it. And I do open online quite often now with at least one of my clients. Yeah.
Okay, I'm online. I see the animation pane. I don't see how it works because it's literally not letting me animate. So I don't use the online version for building. I mean, editing, reviewing primarily, and even that's mostly on the mobile.
And collaborating. I use it a lot for collaborating.
You know, it could be he ran into an A/B test. It might not be software that's run out. That's when a web developer you see it? I'm looking at it right now on a Mac and I'm not seeing anything different.
I have it in interesting. Edge. I have it open in Edge and I have these card things. So basically it's like if you had an animation pane in PowerPoint and you click on one of the objects, you know how you get all the different, you get your different options and those show up in different ways depending on if you're a Mac on a PC. Like you click the little button and then you get to the dialog box. Here you click on the object and it opens up. It's almost like if you had the mini bar or something, because it opens up it like expands it. And it's like Nolan said, like a card, but you get your entrance options and then you can choose your start on click or your duration or your delay. So all of the things that you can apply to the title fade that I just added, you can get to right there. So you're not moving around all over the place. You don't have some of your information settings here, some of them here. It's all right there, which makes a lot of sense, I think.
Echo, I just refreshed my screen and I've now animated this text box like 19 times because I was clicking on it, but I see them. Yeah. I see the little cards. This is an improvement in
that.
What did it look like before?
Normal.
It wasn't. It was like text-based, wasn't it? Yeah, it was just like animation here. You couldn't reorder. It wasn't a timeline. It was very Mac-like. Yeah. It was very, I don't know, I never liked it.
What I'm seeing is interesting to me that the last one that I used is the most recent used one is put leftmost in the bar in the ribbon.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, zoom. I just click zoom and it's now on the quick access list. Because none is not the far left one. Oh, hey, Nolan, thanks for the update. Tim, something new. Don't know how much I'll make use of it, but it's good to see things moving forward. We're just kind of all getting together, chatting. I don't want to take everybody's time. Thank you for joining. I'm just going to give an advance hint. I'm going to ask one last little conversation topic, but I do want us all to do sign off. So think it through: name, company, where you're based, where to find you online. That way we can do a little round table. I don't know how we'll choose this because I think we all have a different view of whose camera's there. Alphabetical order is too much brain power, but here's my last question or last comment, because this did come up and I kind of want your feedback. So one comment from a Microsoft session I attended this week, this is not an NDA topic, so we are safe. And as we're kind of like rapidly adopt generative AI tools, I'm just going to put that out there, all the AI tools. I learned a new name for a tool today that's Microsoft based. And I want to know if anybody else has. Has anybody else heard the phrase Copilot Chat?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what would it be to you without Googling or Binging or anything? Oh, yeah, Sandy's like got it. See, chat. I didn't know what that was.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh. I had to look. A presenter was using it and used it like multiple times in their talk. As I realized, I have no idea what the context of this is. It means it's an action pane within one of the Microsoft environments. It could be your browser or Word or Excel or PowerPoint. It's just the pane that opens up, meaning that you get to see both the Copilot interaction and the app. And it was like, hey, I learned something new. I just didn't know it had a name.
I think it should be called, I mean, I know it's broader than PowerPoint, but within PowerPoint, I think of it as a task pane, an animation pane.
I called
pane,
it a Copilot pane. In my course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they call it the chat. They don't call it the pane.
Not
they call
everybody
it the chat.
Does.
And that's what they're referring to is the pane. Well, this particular presenter.
I think you're going to find that a lot of this is much like anything else at Microsoft. They're still working out the kinks and the naming and stuff. That's why everything is Copilot. But there was no official terminology.
Good
so,
point.
Yeah, you might hear different people referring to it as different things.
And it could have been that group, that particular product group. It's like their own nomenclature. But I literally went to the web and I said, what is a Copilot chat? It showed me. So, you know, the internet knows. I didn't.
That's pretty cool.
Okay. Before I do a little fun wrap up, get it out of here. Let's hear from everybody to make sure we got, everybody's heard. And I'm just going to go in my order. So Echo, you're the top left. Give us a hello and goodbye.
Hi, I'm Echo Swinford. My website is echosvoice.com and I'm based in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, and what's the weather there? This will be fun.
It is beautiful today. Oh my God. It's like 70 and spring. It's amazing.
Oh, that's not what I was expecting.
Julie? I know, right?
Same. Hi, I'm Julie Terberg. I'm in Michigan, where it is 70 and sunny, and I'm heading out for a walk in about a half an hour. My website is design2present.com, and you can find me on LinkedIn at Julie Terberg.
Hey, Mike Parkinson. I own two companies. Billion Dollar Graphics is a graphics product and training company, and 24 Hour Company is a graphic services company. The product and training company is billiondollargraphics.com, and the other company is 24hourcompany.com. So you can look it up, look us up that way. And by the way, never name your company 24 Hour Company because nobody wants to work for you.
Oh, okay. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can check my site at presentationwhiz.biz. I also have a blog there, and find me on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson PowerPoint MVP. And I always add this. This will be new to some of the people here who don't get to the end of the recordings. I always put in a pitch for the Guild. Be sure to visit the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org.
I get to the end of every recording because I want to listen to what Troy has written as the outro that the magical voice says.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Rinsberg?
So many questions. I'm wondering, first of all, Mike, what are you going to do when inflation kicks billion-dollar graphics into a new league?
I know, exactly.
I'm Steve Rinsberg. I own PowerPointTools.com, or PPTools.com, one T, thank you, and the PPTFAQ.com, where there's a lot of information about PowerPoint. You can find me not in any of the usual social media, but I do moderate a PowerPoint subreddit on reddit.com.
Yes, it's very good. Very active. Good job.
It's become quite active. Mm-hmm. Echo's a regular there. Thank you for that. And also I'm on Microsoft Answers in the PowerPoint section. I'm Cincinnati, Ohio, just a bit down and to the right of Echo. Geographically.
Same weather pattern?
Yes, same weather actually.
Not fantastic. Politically. I'd say we're both damn
okay. Moving on, Rick, take it away.
All good.
We won't talk about our. Oh, actually, it's I'm Rick Brett Snyder. I'm in San Jose, California. Where looking out my window, I just see blue skies and sunny 60-degree weather. It's going to get to 74 later this week. Lovely.
It's warmer in Minnesota. It's 69 degrees.
Climate change.
It is. It's changing.
Yeah. So you can find me at rickbrett.com. That's RICBRET.com. And you can actually find me in person. I'm very excited that on the 23rd of this month, March, I am partnering. I've been invited to become part of the Comedy Sports Improv Troupe, where I'll be doing PowerPoint karaoke for that night and probably into the future. So we're going to turn this into a publicly available exercise, and I couldn't be more excited.
It would be fun to fly in for that once in a while.
Yeah.
It'd be really
please
cool.
Please do. Let me know.
That's awesome.
Wait, Rick, it's the comedy sports. What's your sporting background?
Well, comedy sports is spelled S-P-O-R-T-Z. So it's not necessarily, but comedy sports is typically two teams of improv artists who take improvisational exercises and do them in front of the audience. And teams will, based on audience applause, teams will get points, one team versus the other. And at the end of the evening, there is a winning team. So it is a sporting event based around improv.
Comedy as sport, as opposed to comedy about sports.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Hey, I have a really cool audience meter, applause meter that works in PowerPoint.
Oh, that's
you have to have it. It takes the audio feed from the room, but I have built that and we've used
that's
it on
cool.
many events.
My part is not, you know, I like running the PowerPoint karaoke as a there are no losers, only winners exercise. We never claim that one person beat everyone else because it's just a matter of getting up there and having fun. So
this is how all of us in California parents yes. are.
Yeah. Here's your participation trophy.
Richard, you're up.
I'm Richard with Bright Carbon. We enjoy creating presentation content for people, but also run lots of training. You can download the free Bright Slide add-in from our website, brightcarbon.com, or find weekly webinar masterclasses, 30 minutes, where we like to share cool stuff.
And your weather report.
I am in the outskirts of Redmond in Washington, where it is sunny-ish and 10 degrees. But that is in new money. You'll have to do the conversion to old money. It's very pleasant.
I'm Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out nolanhamescreative.com. You can learn all about our trainings and get some free downloads and goodies. And of course, thebetterdeckdeck.com, where you can get the actual deck of cards, the PDF version, even the PowerPoint source files, and a little mini announcement. We will be starting live public webinars for the Better Deck Deck.
Awesome. That's great.
Very cool.
And I'm Troy from TLC Creative, riffing on Rinsberg there. It is TLC Creative with two C's in a row. Mm-hmm. TLC, then the word creative for those emails. Based in not so sunny California right now. I'm down in the San Diego area. It's overcast and a little bit cooler. Actually, everybody else seems to have better weather than I do at the moment. So check us out at tlccreative.com, thepowerpointblog.com, and if you're listening to this, thepresentationpodcast.com. Hey, and from the heart of Microsoft in Bellevue, Washington, at the 2024 Microsoft MVP Summit, thank you for joining us for a super fun PowerPoint and presentation conversation. Oh, wait, hold on. That was my original episode close, obviously drafted well before all the plans dissolved and we decided to get together here.
Record scratch.
You know, it's ways. So take two. Recorded during the 2024 Microsoft MVP Summit, which has more remote than on-site from our perspective. I'm excited to have this time just talking PowerPoint presentation and fun with this amazing group of presentation people who represent a lot of the Microsoft MVPs that are awarded for PowerPoint. Wish that all of them could be here with us. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks for the next episode.
Thanks, Troy. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Troy.
Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, thepresentationpodcast.com. This podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.